Hello and welcome to another edition of the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. While Theresa May's exit plan is stuck in British Parliament, the European Commission has announced preparations for a no-deal Brexit in case the UK leaves the bloc without a plan. Now, the measures aim to limit disruption in 14 areas, including transportation and finance, if there is no deal by the March deadline. This while the British Cabinet said on Tuesday that it has decided to ramp up preparations for a no-deal Brexit. 140,000 letters have been sent to firms asking them to plan ahead, and 100-page information packs will also be distributed among businesses on Friday. Now, where is Brexit heading for? What's the prospect of a no-deal? How will the UK be affected in that case? Let's now go to London for an update on the status of Brexit. Robert Carter, over to you.
Well, I can certainly tell you that there is an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty that is gripping the UK at the moment. Theresa May is still fighting to save her Brexit deal, but it seems as if she may have the European Union's backing, as you say, but she has failed to secure any support from the British Parliament. And indeed, many of the British public are also deeply divided and distrustful of her deal. We don't know if we will get Brexit. We don't know what Brexit will be, even at this late stage. And we don't know who will be leading us in the long term and possibly even the short term too. The British Parliament has become deeply divided and has turned into a kind of tribal warfare between opposition parties which are vying for power and also the government as well, which its own party has split into rival factions fighting for a hard Brexit, which you see there are rebellions taking place trying to overthrow the current Prime Minister, who is seen by many in her own party as well as a Remain campaigner who is now leading the country in a act of betrayal against the Brexit, which people originally voted for in 2016. So it's a very deeply divided country at the moment, and of course with so much uncertainty surrounding the future of this nation, you also have a situation where the government is so unsure about how the public could react should they feel that Brexit has been betrayed or their diplomatic right and their votes have been betrayed, that the troops, the British Army, has also been put in a state of readiness. So there could be armed soldiers roaming the streets of London very soon should the British public perhaps turn to violence in order to fight for what they believe is a real Brexit. This is how bad things have gotten here in the UK, and with protests and even riots springing up all across Europe at the moment, there is a real fear, I can tell you, that that violence may come here to London, and it could be regarding Brexit. Let's wait and see how it turns out.
All right, thanks for the update. That was Robert Carter, our correspondent, who updated us from our London Bureau. Now let me invite our guests joining us in this debate. We'll have George Zamuelli, who is a senior research fellow with Global Policy Institute, joining us from New York, and also James Tweedy, journalist and commentator, who is joining us from London. Now, thank you both gentlemen for joining us in this debate. Now let me begin with George Zamuelli. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker says that it would be, and quote, absolute catastrophe if Britain left the European Union without a deal. What kind of a catastrophe is he referring to?
Well, I imagine that what he means is a scenario outlined in your report just now, that everything will be chaotic, businesses won't know whether they're coming or going, and everything will be unsettled, and maybe there'll be riots in the streets and violence and so on. So I think that's probably what he means by that. But that's not necessarily what is the most likely scenario. I think the more likely scenario is that that kind of hard Brexit will be avoided and the can will be kicked down the road, in which by Britain will revoke its Article 50 application for exit, and not necessarily cancel Brexit altogether, but Basically thinking in terms of, well, let's give us more time to renegotiate. There just simply hasn't been enough time. The exit, the moment of truth is coming up too soon. You know, we need more time to strike a deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now to London, James Tweedy. The British government says that it will implement plans for a no-deal Brexit, and it will also tell businesses to prepare for that. And I just told you that what they have done. Now, how successful can these plans be?
It's hard to tell, but I think we can look at the EU's own statement, the European Commission's statement on Brexit and on their preparations for a hard Brexit. And to me, that sounds like a parent telling their children that, yes, they can stay up for another hour, but after that, it really is bedtime. Because they're saying that if there is a no-deal Brexit, then certain things will go on as normal. Certain things will go on as normal for another 9 to 12 months. And at that point, they will be cut off. But, you know, if they can go on for another 12 months, why can't they go on for another, you know, 20 years? It doesn't make any sense. I think the government's talk of putting 3,500 troops on the streets, which if you think about it is not very many troops when you spread them out all over the country, is just more scaremongering. And, you know, to a certain extent, they have a responsibility to advise people to make preparations for that happening. But like your other guest, I don't believe that there will be a no-deal Brexit in the end. Even though a no-deal Brexit is the only real Brexit.
All right. George, Governor of Bank of England has said that leaving the European Union with no transition is similar to the 1970s oil shock. How necessary is this transition?
Well, I mean, obviously, this is what Brexit is all about. I mean, as your guest has pointed out, I mean, the only Brexit is a hard Brexit. I mean, there's very little point in leaving Europe, but effectively staying in Europe. In other words, being bound by the regulations and the customs of Europe. Without actually having any say in the implementation and the promulgation of such regulations. So obviously, if you are going to leave Europe, I mean, you might as well just go all the way with a hard Brexit. However, it's very hard to know in advance, you know, how realistic any of these doomsday scenarios are. We heard a lot of doomsday scenarios after the 2016 referendum, that there'd been an almighty crisis the day after. I mean, the crisis never came about. Now, this may, in the end, turn out to be a great crisis, but we shouldn't assume it. And there are obviously business interests, financial interests, banking interests that want to create anxiety and panic in order to stave off Brexit. I mean, they're very strongly against Brexit, so it's very much in their interest to spell out all manner of doomsday scenarios. So I don't think that we should take those kinds of warnings too seriously. However, I personally don't think that Brexit will be such a great idea for Britain. I don't think Britain will derive any great benefits from it. But I don't believe that such an almighty crisis is all that likely either.
Mm-hmm. Now to London, James, let's look at the situation inside Great Britain. Now, will Prime Minister Theresa May be able to win the backing of the House, including the agreement that she has with EU leaders last month?
I think probably yes, on balance. I think when it comes down to it, the Blairites, the right wing of the Labour Party, will vote for the deal, because ultimately the deal is not really, it's not a real Brexit. These calls for a second referendum are, you know, that many people are making these calls, But that's something that the government can use, in fact, that Theresa May can use, to scare the Eurosceptic MPs into backing her deal. Now, she's been very clever in all of this. There was a leadership challenge against her in the Conservative Party, within the Conservative Party, a vote of no confidence, in fact. Mm-hmm. And she won that vote. And now that makes the Tory MPs, including those who don't like her, who voted against her, less likely to vote with the opposition on a no confidence motion. The Labour Party's painted itself into a corner by saying that there can't be, under any circumstances, a no-deal Brexit. And Jeremy Corbyn has quite wisely not attempted to make a... some would say wisely, not attempted to bring a no-confidence motion against the government that he would lose because he doesn't have the support of other parties, including the Scottish National Party, which makes its support dependent on Labour supporting a second referendum, which it won't do because that's electoral suicide for Labour. So bit by bit, Theresa May is one by one eliminating all the other options. You know, one option was that the Tory party would get rid of her and have a new prime minister, a real Brexiteer. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. Another possibility is that there'll be a no confidence vote in her in Parliament, in her government in Parliament, and a snap election or a new government without an election. That's probably not going to happen now. What options are left on the table? Second referendum, which nobody really likes, apart from parties that are never going to be in government, and the deal. Then no deal. The Parliament could vote against the deal in January. Okay, will they do that? Still possible, but perhaps less likely, especially if Labour MPs and Liberal Democrat MPs, for instance, and other MPs decide to vote for it because they'd rather have a pseudo-Brexit than a no-deal Brexit. And the nightmare for the government and for all the establishment would be, say, a referendum where the choices are no Brexit or no deal, because there's too much risk for them, in fact, a very serious risk from their point of view, that the electorate would just vote no deal.
Uh-huh. Okay, let me put the same question to George. George, do you think that Prime Minister May will be able to get the support of the Parliament?
Well, I actually have my doubts that she will do that. I think that the Tories, the Brexiteers, are so ardently opposed to this deal with the Northern Ireland backstop that they will never support it. And I have my doubts whether that many Labour MPs will come over and support her. I think that it would go down to defeat in Parliament in January when she's promised to have the vote. It may not be, the majority may not be as great as the one that the defeat that she avoided a week or so ago, but I think it will still be a substantial defeat. In which case, the question arises, well, what does she do now? I do have my doubts that she'll go for a referendum. I think that a referendum will just simply be, will satisfy nobody, because whichever way it goes, it won't really be a decisive vote, because if it overturns the 2016 referendum result and say, well, maybe, you know, we'd like to stay in after all, then of course, you know, the Brexiteers will be protesting and saying, well, we want a third referendum, you know, it should be best of three. We shouldn't just decide that the second one is more valid than the first. On the other hand, if the referendum is just simply on the narrow issue of this deal, or nothing, then it's be hard to interpret that. What does that result mean? So if it rejects it, does that mean that it stays in the EU, or does it mean that it goes for the hard Brexit? So I don't think a referendum is a viable option. I actually think much more likely is some form of a revocation of the Article 50 application, not to cancel Brexit altogether, but simply to kick the can down the road and to decide, well, we really need more time to get our ducks in a row. We need more time to settle this. Mm-hmm. The exit date is coming up too soon. We just can't live with the chaos. I think that's probably the moment. Now that they have this court decision that says, yeah, Britain can unilaterally just revoke its Article 50 application, I think that's going to be the most attractive option.
Mm-hmm. All right, James. Businesses are concerned both in the UK and outside. In what way can Brexit complicate business activity both inside the UK and outside of the UK border?
Well, the issues that are being talked about are of manufacturers that rely on just-in-time deliveries of parts that's the system that they have. And of course, the question of exports to the EU, whether tariffs will be applied and whether extra checks will take place at the border. Which will delay, people are talking about miles of lorries queuing on the motorways in Kent going down to the Channel ports, the English Channel ports. Quite a lot has been written to debunk that, and ultimately the EU statement today on its contingency plan for a no-deal Brexit is saying that actually a lot of those problems won't occur. They won't occur. The EU will give us a breather. They'll give us some breathing room. And in fact, that 9 months to 1 year that they're giving us might actually be long enough for Britain and the EU to conclude a free trade deal or some other kind of agreement to ease trade substantially so that there aren't significant problems. And in fact, that's very interesting because it seems like the European Commission, which issued that statement, has blinked. They were very tough and they said, this deal that we've made with Theresa May cannot be renegotiated. You can't come back to the negotiating table anymore. Mm-hmm. There will be no more concessions. And now they say this. They say that, okay, if you go out without a deal, then actually, basically dynamite the Channel Tunnel and put mines in the English Channel to stop you from trading with us. No, they're not going to do that. And of course they're not going to do that because it's not in their interest. Now, the other thing about trade is that Britain's trade with countries outside the EU is large and it is always growing. It's larger than its trade within the EU. And in fact, perhaps most of the future trade growth in trade will be with countries outside the EU. And of course, there is the point that the EU's biggest trading partners are the USA and Canada and China and Russia, and none of them have a free trade. Well, Canada has a free trade agreement, but the other countries do not have free trade agreements with the EU, and they get along just fine. Mm-hmm. And there's no problem with air transport and so on. So, yes, it's. I don't see. This statement from the EU today is quite crucial, really. It's saying, yes, it's probably, okay, there are exceptions can be made. Exceptions can be made. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we would have to, the World Trade Organization rules would make it impossible for the EU to give us any preferential access don't seem to apply in this case. The European Commission doesn't seem to think they apply. It's very interesting. Okay. I can't believe that they've blinked, though. I think they must be, they are hand in glove with Theresa May and with the British establishment in wanting to prevent a meaningful Brexit. what else can I say about this? I agree with your guest about the referendum. I'll say one thing about it. Everyone I know who wants a people's vote, a second referendum on whether we go, you know, whether we get out of the EU or not, voted Remain in the first place, and they lost. And everyone I know who voted Leave, and Leave won, wants a no-deal Brexit. So where does this, you know, where does this leave us? This is what the establishment is afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and one last question. We're running out of time. George, given the current circumstances, which scenario is likely to happen, or maybe a scenario outside of this? A last-minute deal, stopping the Brexit, or Brexit without a deal? Very briefly, please.
Well, as I say, I don't think that Theresa May will succeed in her vote in Parliament. I think Parliament will vote against it. I think she will go ahead with the vote. I think it will vote against it. And at that point, I think the more likely scenario it will be that there'll be some kind of a decision taken. Well, let's revoke Article 50 for the time being, at a temporary withdrawal, so that we have more time to negotiate.
Okay.
I do think that there'll be a great deal of pressure on the issue of the hard Brexit. That hard Brexit will cause enormous crisis, and I think that nobody really wants it. The people are afraid of it and think that this is going to lead to a crisis. So I think a more likely scenario would be, well, let's just simply postpone this. We really didn't have enough time to negotiate a proper deal. Let's live to fight for another day. Now that they have this court ruling in its favor.
Okay, we're just very short of time. James, very briefly, 20 seconds, please, your last thoughts.
What I'm going to say about chaos, there's chaos on the streets of France. There isn't chaos on the streets of Britain. That's not happening here. People are very calm and they're getting on with their business, just like they were in the days after the Brexit vote. So let's not talk about mayhem in Britain anymore, please.
All right. On that note, we'll come to the end of this debate. Let me thank our guests who joined us. We had George Samueli, who's Senior Research Fellow with Global Policy Institute from New York, and also James Twitty, journalist and commentator, who joined us from London. Thank you for joining us in this debate. And thank you, viewers, for watching. We'll see you next time.